Luke chapter 6. We're going to read verses 17 down to verse 20. I'll read verse 17. You read verse 18 with me. I'm going to have you keep your finger there. And through the sermon, we're going to go back to Matthew 5. And we're going to end back here. Okay, so Luke 6 and Matthew 5. But right now, let's read Luke 6, verses 17 through 20. And he came down with them and stood in the plain. And the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people came out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him to be healed of their diseases. And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples, and said, Blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for, Lord, your word. Thank you for tonight, Lord, just getting to be together and focus on what you've done for us. Lord, please help us in this short time. Open our eyes and let us behold wonderful things out of thy law. Please, and speak to our hearts and strengthen us so we can live for you and be more faithful to you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As you look at this, I want you to take a pen, and in verse number 17, you need to underline something that you're going to see here in just a second that is different, that I think needs to be noticed. In verse 17, it says, And he came down with them, and then could you underline the four words, stood in the plain? What's a plain? It's a flat area. It's not a mountain. It's not a valley. It's a plain. It's a big flat area. Now, we're going to come back to Luke 6. That's very important that you understand that. Now go to Matthew 5. Matthew 5. Matthew 5 is the only place in your Bible you read of the kingdom of heaven. It's the only place mentioned. It also mentions the kingdom of God, but in all the other gospels and the rest of your New Testament, you are fine teaching on the kingdom of God. Let's do a quick review. I did a whole Bible study on the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That determines what you pull out of your Bible. Because remember, the kingdom of heaven was what Jesus was going to set up. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what John preached, right? The Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And then what did Jesus say? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's Matthew till you get to chapter 11. What happened in Matthew 11? Israel rejected the Messiah, right? So then Jesus knew all this was going to... Jesus dying on the cross was not plan B, okay? But when Israel rejected him, then salvation was... Jesus died and rose again, made salvation open to the whole world. So that was the kingdom of heaven in the Old Testament. One day when Jesus comes to reign in Jerusalem, it will be the kingdom of heaven again. Where are we? We're in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven is a physical kingdom. Tangible. I'll show you here, but Luke 17:21 says, Jesus told us the kingdom of God is within you. You can't see it. It's an invisible kingdom. That's where we're at now. That's why we're not trying to take Mechanicsville for Christ at gunpoint. We don't go house to house saying, you better come to church this Sunday. Okay? Now, wait a second. In the Old Testament, what happened if you didn't go to the temple and do sacrifice? You were put to death. In the kingdom, when Jesus reigns, guess what happens to everybody who doesn't go visit Jesus at Jerusalem? They get their heads cut off. Read that in Zechariah. That's every day heads will be cut off for 1,000 years. It's going to be an incredible time. That's a physical kingdom. We're in a kingdom of God, spiritual kingdom. Now, if you understand that, okay, quick overview. Look at Matthew 5 and look at, I think Matthew 5, 6, and 7 should be well marked in your Bible, but you need to understand, look who it's pointing to. Look at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, not a plain, right? And when he was set, so in Luke 6, Jesus is standing in a plain, right? In Matthew 5, he's set on a mountaintop, like a king. And notice how he starts. His disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And from chapter 5, 6, and 7, you have the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus lays out the constitution of when he rules here on this earth. There are some things, there's many things you can apply to now. There are some things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 you cannot apply to now. The first thing you're going to come across is what? When you read the and I love the Beatitudes, but watch. Jesus said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after. Okay, blessed are the meek, they shall inherit the earth. That's not now. That's in the future, right? Look at the verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. That's, I don't care how pure in heart you are. You're not going to see God until he comes again, right? So there's some things in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 that don't apply to now. This is Jesus giving us the constitution of the kingdom of heaven. You say, why are you teaching this? As all of us deal with things that we've never dealt with before, I don't care if it's last year's COVID, I don't care all the questions, new, you know, I told our Sunday school class this morning, our church sent me on my first missions trip 3 years ago. Then I went to second missions trip to Mexico last year. Didn't go on one this year. Don't know if I'll ever travel again. Different times. We heard Brother Good Pastor said, 10 missionaries, if you leave the Philippines, they're not allowed back in. My son wants to be a missionary. I said, son, missions as we know it is only 200 years old, right? It's only been around since Luther Rice and William Carey and raising money here to send it there. Brother Wilkins made a unique statement. When all this started, he said, this is going to be the death of missions as we know it. Where we raise money and we send it overseas. If they're kicking missionaries out of countries that don't, are not nationals, I don't think it will end soul winning, but it will change how we do missions. So you say, well, how? I don't know. We're not there yet. But we're dealing with a lot of changes. Now let's talk about vaccinations. They just said, what, last week? Life should be hard for those who choose not to get the vaccine. They are, when they go door to door, I thought they were just going to try to talk you into the stupid thing. Now it says they're marking your house and everything and putting it in a government database so that you can be relocated later if they want to quarantine you, forcibly take you from your house because you choose not to get vaccinated and quarantine you. Who's ever dealt with that? You say, what are we going to do? I don't know. I'm dealing with all types of things. I don't know. I run to my Bible and I say, Lord, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I need to trust you because I know God knows what's going on, right? I can either have a nervous breakdown or I can trust the Lord. Tonight's message is when you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, I think you need to be careful what you apply if you understand where the Sermon on the Mount fits. It's in the kingdom of heaven, right? When you read Luke 6, it is not a parallel passage. It's two different sermons Jesus preached. And he starts Luke 6 with the kingdom of God. Everything in Luke 6. So I wanted to call tonight comfort from our Savior for living in this kingdom. Okay? So, go back now to Luke 6 and watch. If you need the reference for the verse, Luke 17:21 is the verse where Jesus said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. It is an invisible kingdom. What we labor for is not seen. It's unseen. It's within. What we're supposed to be laboring for is your spiritual growth, your strength inside you to love God and walk with Him and trust Him and hold to Him and be led by Him. That's what we're working for. That makes a strong Christian. That's how you measure success, if you will. Look at Luke 6. We read verse 17. We understand he's standing in a plain. Watch when Jesus starts speaking at verse 20, and he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, blessed be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Here's what I think you need to understand. In America, it's hard to find truly poor people that aren't subsidized by the government. You know, that's only been around since World War II, right? FDR and welfare. Until World War II, if you were poor, you didn't get any money from the government, right? So for 2,000 years, if you're poor, a truly poor person that has to trust God, that isn't lazy, but they're poor, normally, it says in the book of James, they're rich in spiritual qualities, right? Now, when you subsidize people in America and you give them government money, what happens? They become animals. Okay? And I did not say everybody in the government housing project's an animal, but you know it produces the rioters. If you give people what they can work for, it destroys their self-respect, and then they expect it, and the rest, we know what comes from that. This is talking about truly poor people. And Jesus is addressing a truly poor person that can work, is able to work, isn't lazy. But he says, if you're poor, he didn't say, I'll give you a bunch of money. He says, I'll give you understanding into the kingdom. And there will be things that you can see that others won't see. Theirs is the kingdom of God. Look at the next verse. Look at verse 21. Blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. What I'm trying to get you to see is in the kingdom of God that we're in right now, we know we're living in perilous times. 2 Timothy 3. We know things are getting ready. I honestly believe Jesus is coming soon. I'm not like, I don't say that to psych myself out. Things are going global like they've never gone before. Who's ever cared what's happened in other countries? When I grew up, that was TMI. It's still TMI to this day. Now everybody's, guess what's happening globally? Everybody's responding to this pandemic and all of that. As things go global, guess what's getting ready to happen? Jesus is coming. The Antichrist, he's going to call us home. The Antichrist is going to take control for 7 years. We should be laboring for him now. I just think it's interesting. He didn't say, you won't be poor, you won't hunger. He said, if you hunger now, he says, ye shall be filled. Blessed are ye that weep now, for ye shall laugh. When is this kingdom of heaven? It's been for the past 2,000 years. America is the only place that has given us freedom of religion. For 1,700 years, Baptist heritage has been a bloody one. We've met in secret because it was illegal. That's the majority of our heritage. I thank God for America. But I also realize things haven't always been this way. Can you imagine being a Christian, being in hiding, and reading Luke 6? Blessed are ye. And Jesus is telling them, talking about the kingdom of God. Ready? Blessed are ye if you weep now, for ye shall laugh. Verse 22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake, not because you're a jerk. There are some people don't like them on the job because they're lazy or they're nasty with their mouth. Jesus said, when people persecute you because of Him, because you're saved, because you love the Lord, not because you're ridiculous or hard to get along with, He said, blessed are you. What I'm trying to point out to you tonight is Jesus didn't say during this time frame, nothing bad will ever happen to you physically. But if you aren't careful, if you read Matthew 5, 6, and 7, you think, I do know this, God's in control, and God will help me. He never leaves me nor forsakes me, right? And He supplies all my need. It's just where we get confused is what I think I need and what God knows I need, right? Well, no, what I need is a new car, and what I need is a new suit. And what I God says, I will supply your need. But there may be things that you go through that are physically hard, like Christians who've gone before you. I didn't tell you you won't weep, or you'll never be hungry, or you'll never suffer physically. I am giving you promises. Everybody see that? Okay? Keep on reading through it. I'm trying to give you a mindset here. Verse 23, rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. Aren't we supposed, look, remember when the whole COVID thing broke out? I told you, you know what COVID did? It taught us to be thankful for church because we didn't think nobody could stop us from having church, right? And I said, maybe if everything's comfortable and everything's just the way we like it, when do you long for heaven? When everything's the way you like it and it's, you know, when do you look forward and say, I can't wait to get there? Do you know that most Christians say Jesus coming would interrupt my goals? What? Well, I want to make $1 million first, and I want to do this, and what? Where's your longing for heaven? Right? I'm not longing for death. I'm just where's the looking forward to and hastening the day of the Lord? Lord, it can't be quick enough. As things get rough, we're the only group of Christians that have it that easy. As things get rough, however, you start longing. I can't wait to leave this world. People get too nasty. I've told one person, I said, your mouth makes me long for heaven. Amen. People like you. Amen. Cause I ain't fixing you and you don't care nothing about God. But you make this world a rough place to live in. Amen. Jesus said, rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. That means I'm looking forward to it. For in the like manner did their fathers under the prophets. Watch this. But woe unto you that are rich, for ye have received your consolation. Everybody understand when he's talking about rich people, it's not a sin to have money. It's a sin to let money control your life. And does everybody understand when this was penned and for 1700 years until America, there was no middle class? You were either poor and you owned slaves everywhere, or you were the elite. Okay? So most Christians for many years there were no wealthy ones. They were all poor. That's how come church in a persecuted country, they don't meet during the day. They meet at 10, 11, 12, 1 o'clock at night so they don't get found out. Right? We get to, glory to God, we'll leave here and, preacher, how long? 3 more minutes, okay? We get to go home when it's daylight. Amen? We're one of the few groups that have done that. He says here, watch, okay? It says here, verse 25, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. Woe unto you that laugh now, for ye shall mourn and weep. Woe unto you. Watch, I think verse 26, you ought to just mark it and think about it. Woe unto you when all men shall speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. You know what Jesus is saying? You mean your Christianity doesn't upset anybody? Everybody likes you? You don't have any enemies? Are you living for God? All they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You mean your Christianity doesn't make anybody mad because you know just how to blend in? You know how to slide right in there and just blend in with everybody and nobody can tell you're different? Jesus, isn't it interesting? Woe unto you when all men speak well of you. That's what he's saying. You know, everybody know what the word woe means? It means cursed are you. Your Christianity is a joke. If you do right, you're going to make those that do wrong upset. And if you do wrong, you're going to make those that do right upset. Your life should upset the apple cart somewhere, right? But you mean everybody likes you? There's only one way that happens. You know how to blend in everywhere. I know just what to say. And Jesus said, you're cursed. Woe unto you. Powerful verse, verse 26. Look at 27. But I say unto you which hear, love your enemies. And we're going to be told twice to love our enemies. This is the first time. Love your enemies. Do good to them which hate you. Watch, if you read the verse, we prayed about that and went home, all of us would have enough to work on all week long. Because this little section goes down to at the end of verse 34. When do you love your enemies? When you find out somebody hates you, isn't that your opportunity? Wow, I get to love somebody that doesn't love me back. Wow, I get to pray for somebody that, oh, that's so sad. Okay, grape juice on the Bible. Amen. Okay. Okay. Here we go. So, loving your enemies and doing good to those that hate you. Doing good. I don't know too many people that do that. I'm not supposed to be anybody's walking mat. And watch this. I think you're supposed to stand for right. I think you're supposed to protect your family. I believe that. But very few people, he's talking about for the gospel. You mean they found out, you think this COVID thing's all a hoax, and you found out you're not going with the flow, and you're not submitting to society, so therefore, it's going to come to the point where they're talking about global vaccination, and those that don't are going to be the what? Enemy of the world. What did they persecute Christians for in Rome? Enemies of the state. You won't bow to the emperor, you're an enemy. That was written on the death certificate. Okay? I kind of see things coming full circle. Hope it doesn't. Okay, but amen. What do we learn from history? Men don't learn from history. History repeats itself, right? Here we go. Watch this. It says, bless them that curse you and pray for them which despitefully use you. And unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. Now, Brother Roloff used to say, if somebody smites you on one cheek, it's so you can rear back and hit, you know, with the... that's a weird interpretation, okay? If you follow this through, watch. It says, unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other, and him that taketh away thy cloak, taketh it away. Forbid not to take thy coat also. How could you have that type of attitude? If you mistreat me, go ahead. There's only one way. Psalm 7, God's my defense. You mistreat me, God will fight for me. I wouldn't do that if I were you. Amen. I wouldn't take your vengeance out on me because I love God. God's my defense. How could you give somebody your coat if they want to take it from you? Because God is my provider, right? God gave that to me. God will give me another. This isn't turn Christians into weak noodles of society. But I see a trusting God here, no matter what comes. And no matter how, I'm supposed to do right. I'm fighting for the kingdom that's within me, that's within. Nothing physical. Okay, keep on reading. Let's give to every man that asketh of thee. And of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And as ye would, here's the golden rule, verse 31, As ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. God doesn't reward me when I treat people the way they treat me. God rewards me when I treat people the way I want to be treated. That is the golden rule. That's why Christianity is a help to every society that it's in. We don't look to take vengeance. We don't look to hurt people. Christians make society pleasant. Amen? So I'm supposed to say, I'm not going to treat you the way you've treated me. I'm going to treat you the way I want to be treated. That's the golden rule. Powerful. Here we go. Kingdom of God stuff. Verse 32. For if ye love them which love you, what thank have ye? Watch. For sinners also love those that love them. Jesus is saying, where does your life differ from a lost person? Sinners. Everybody loves somebody that loves them, but when do you when do you love those that don't? I just think this is just I just love reading this. What makes your life different from a lost person? And how you act with other people. We're living in the kingdom of God. Look at the next verse, verse 33. If ye do good to them which do good to you, what thank have ye? For sinners or lost people also do even the same. Verse 34. And if ye lend to them whom ye hope to receive, what thank have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. But love ye your enemies. Second time he said it. And do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great. Let's talk about, again, how can you not care who steals from you? How can you not care who's mistreating you? How can you not care if somebody doesn't pay back what they owe you? How about this? God's keeping the books. How much do you believe that? God's not missing anything. If you borrow that, I do highly suggest you pay it back. You're hoping they forget about it. God says that's not the way a Christian lives, because God's keeping the books, right? Does everybody see? I'm laboring for my inner strength. I'm not laboring for anything that's physical. I'm laboring for my love and my imitation of the Lord. It's inward. Verse 35. And ye shall be the children of the highest, for he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. Be ye therefore merciful, as your Father also is merciful. You think about this. You represent the Lord on your block, in your neighborhood. If you don't live for the Lord, where are they going to see God? Oh, they'll come to church. They're watching you and seeing if what you have will help. If it doesn't help you, then how could it help them? Right? You're being watched. You're the testimony of the Lord in your neighborhood, at your job, where you're at. Here we go. Verse 36, be ye therefore merciful as your Father also is merciful. Judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. The word judge doesn't mean don't make spiritual decisions. I think this means this. In the context, he's talking about loving your enemies, helping people, doing good to people that can't pay you back. I should not, when I go soul winning, here we go. Here's how I apply this verse. When I go soul winning, I should be willing to talk to everybody. I don't go, ooh, too many tattoos. Tattoo people. I don't do that. So you determine who you're good to and who you're bad to based on how they look? Don't do that. Be kind to everybody. You represent the Lord, right? You do, as a child of God. Keep on going. Verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. I think the paradox of the Christian life is you get by giving. You say, why? Because God's keeping the books. God's keeping the books. God sees your willingness to help. What can God, does everybody see this? It's what can God do through you, right? That is unseen. That's your love towards other people, how you respond, how you act, what others know you to be. Can others see Christ in you? It's an inward kingdom. Keep on going. Verse 39, and he spake a parable unto them. Can the blind lead the blind? Shall they not both fall into the ditch? The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Okay, wonderful verse. If they crucified Jesus, do you really think they're going to treat you better? He did no sin. All he did was heal and help, and they couldn't wait to kill him. Do you really think they're going to treat you better than they treated the Lord? Well, they ought to love me. They're not going to. God's keeping the books. It's all inward. It's not an outward manifestation. Keep on going. It says, and verse 41, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but perceivest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Either how canst thou say to thy brother, brother, let me pull out the mote or the spot that is in thine eye, when thou thyself beholdest not the beam that is in thine own eye? You know what? Jesus, I think, is saying here, I have so much to work on with me that unless somebody's asking me for help, you learn to keep your mouth shut. If they want your opinion, they'll ask it. If they want your help, if not, it's not, hey, you know, you got something in your eye? You're bumping people with this pole that's coming out of your face. I don't know. I picture that. I have enough to work on with me. And when I make me trying to be like Jesus, I've learned something. I think that's what this is applying. It's not that you're not supposed to care about others. It's just quit looking at other people's flaws. Because I promise you this, whatever you see that's small, they got bigger problems. You can only see the outward. They see the inner, right? Just focus on my poles I got sticking out of my face, okay? Hey, y'all pray for me. I got problems. You focus on getting your beams taken care of. I have a lot to care for. I think we should be willing to help each other when we ask. This is talking about when you ain't asked. How can you point out somebody else's wrong when they're not asking you for help? Okay, let's keep on reading. It says here, it says, thou hypocrite, cast first out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to pull out the mote that is in thy brother's eye. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of his heart his mouth speaketh. What a verse. Does everybody see in the heart, inward? My problems come from within. I'm to be working on the kingdom of God within me. I'm not working for a physical kingdom. While we live here, until God calls us home, this is the kingdom of God. Keep on reading. Look at verse 46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? What a verse. Can you imagine Jesus asking you? Look, he's your Savior when you ask him to save you. He's your Lord when you do what he says. Well, I did what he meant. You know what it says over and over again in the Old Testament? Thus saith the Lord. It doesn't say, thus meaneth the Lord. God says what he means, and he means what he says. And if he's your Lord, it is only to the degree you obey what he says. Can you imagine Jesus asking you, you know, I died for you. You know I'm the Creator. How come you don't do what I tell you? What a personal one-on-one me and Jesus time. Amen. If you would just work at doing what I've touched your heart about, you've got all you can say grace over. Amen? And isn't it wonderful? Jesus says, I want to help you. I don't say, well, live for me, and I'll see you when you get to heaven. God says, I do want to do the whole Christian life with you. Why do you call me Lord, but you don't care about what I say? You do your own thing. Aren't these powerful verses? Okay, look at, here we go. Verse 47. Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings. Now you have three verses here. Watch. Heareth my sayings and doeth them. I will show you to whom he is like. So hearing and doing is the first illustration. He's like a man which built a house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. Who's the rock? It's Jesus, right? If you ask anybody, is your life founded on Jesus Christ? Yes, because this is America, right? Everybody loves Jesus. If your house is founded on the rock, if Jesus is the cornerstone, that means the cornerstone is the reference for square, right? They put the square cornerstone in the corner of the foundation, and as they build the building up, everything, plumb lined, shot, everything is referenced back to Jesus. Is this in line? Is this in line? How much do you ask the Lord to help you do what he wants you to do? That is when Jesus is the foundation of your life. It's when we do our own thing. God, I'm going to live my life this way. I have these goals. I'm doing this. I'm going here. Now bless me. And then when he doesn't, people get angry, but they never prayed about it. They just expected God to help them do what they wanted to do. When Jesus is the foundation, he's your reference point. Lord, help me today when I go to work. Help me to say the right thing. Help me to do things your way. When Jesus is your reference point, he's the foundation. Look at the next verse. Remember, this is hearing and doing. But he that heareth... Okay, if you're hearing, that means you're going to church, right? That means you're reading your Bible. He that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did be. Notice, this is a stream. This isn't a storm. Okay, a stream is a small river. A stream is known as a small flow of water. No foundation. It says here, the stream, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Tonight I wanted to look at Luke 6 and Matthew 5, 6, and 7. I did not think they're the same passage. They're two different sermons. One was to the kingdom of heaven. This one is to us as we live in the kingdom of God. We're living in an invisible kingdom. You say, why? Because I'm concerned about some Christians having this mentality. If I go to church and I read my Bible and I do right, nothing bad will ever happen to me. History doesn't show that. There's millions of Christians that have lived for God and were put to death. We have had it. Praise God for our freedom. I don't want it to stop. Okay? But if my mindset isn't right, I won't be able to handle hard times correctly. I'll expect things to be as they always have been for me. That type of Christianity quits, right? When it gets hard. As a pastor, I think we're all dealing with things I don't have answers for. Well, now what? I don't know. Trust the Lord. I'm praying for the rapture. Amen. I know it's coming soon. I'm longing for heaven, and I want to make sure I'm working on what God's given me, because I'm not going to change Washington. It's getting worse. I don't think they care what I say. They're not going to. If anything, if I spoke, I told you before, I think they'd kill me. Okay? I can't change the world. I can, as a child of God, make sure I'm living for the Lord, and my kingdom is inward. It's what nobody sees. I hope this is a help to you so you can trust the Lord and walk with him. Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, please, I help us as we read your word to apply it to our lives. Please. I